Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. And thank you, Merle and Bo, for the very creative shine spotlight today. And Cheryl and Steve, thank you for your sharing, for encouraging us with your very wonderful and uplifting stories. A very good morning to all of you. 新年快乐, Happy New Year, and 身体健康, good health to you. And happy Valentine's Day. What a day of celebration. It's wonderful to just celebrate this day with you all. I know we are online, but I'm so glad that we could do this together. And I bet you're wearing red too, like me. Last week, Chaplain Judy concluded our generous love series with a powerful sermon on great love in small deeds. And next week, we will be starting on our Lent series. And as for today, well, could you use some good news today? Apparently, the demand for good news has been on the rise ever since COVID started. Sometime in April last year, there were reports that Google searches for good news was at an all-time high. And the New York Times has this to say: the coronavirus pandemic has driven interest in uplifting headlines way, way up. David Beard, the executive editor for newsletters at National Geographic, said that the demand for good news was unlike anything he's seen before. He said, people are looking for a reason to go on. Another newspaper has this to say: battered by grim headlines, horrifying statistics, and deep uncertainty over the coronavirus pandemic, many people worldwide are trying to lift their spirits by seeking out good news. And there are many good news channels and websites dedicated to good news that have been set up. You know, people are hungry for good news, and they're searching everywhere for it. And what are some of these good news that people are finding on the good news channels? I'll read you these seven headlines that I came across. One, investors who beat Wall Street by buying GameStop shares pay it forward, donating winnings to charity. Two, former prisoners turn waste into beautiful furniture, rebuilding their lives at the same time. Three, after losing my dog, neighbors loan me their own pups to grieve. Four, cancer doctor wiped out more than $600,000 in medical debt for his former patients. Five, policeman buys shoplifting suspects Christmas food. The officer paid for the needy women's food instead of charging them for shoplifting. Six, new Alzheimer's treatment shows real promise in slowing cognition decline using antibody in human trials. Seven, last one. Iran has passed a bill that would protect women from domestic violence. You know, most of you, I believe, would probably agree that these are good news, right? As opposed to bad news, yeah? I wish I could see you. Like, see you nod your head. But what makes them good? And why do people long for them? Why do we long for them? I believe that, in a way, they point to a deeper longing. That goes something like this: investors donating winnings to charity, isn't it a longing for generosity? Prisoners recycling waste and rebuilding their lives is about restoration and redemption and second chances, or maybe even third chances. And it's also about caring for the environment. Neighbors loaning puppies, isn't that about compassion, empathy, and kindness? Doctor wiping out medical debt for patients. Sacrificial love, mercy. Policemen paying for the women's food instead of charging them for shoplifting. It's about mercy and grace. It's about not giving the other person what they deserve, but giving them what they don't deserve. Medical technology for new Alzheimer's treatment. Is that not a longing for wholeness, for a body that's not subject to decay? Bill to protect women from domestic violence. That's about justice and dignity. And I can go on. they point to a deeper longing in all of us. Christian or not, we long for a certain kind of world, a world characterized by generosity and kindness, mercy and grace, justice, safety, good health, environmental wholeness, abundance and flourishing for everyone, and peace. Yes? Yeah? What it is that we long for a world, whether we know it or not, we long for a world that reflects the Creator God. And you know what else we long for? We long for a better us. What do I mean by that? See, when we look deep inside, we see things we don't like. You know, the bad temper, the insecurity, the manipulative or self-serving ways, that hurtful word you know to your spouse, or that spiteful word to your child or to your parents. You know, all the struggle with doing something over and over again that you know you shouldn't be doing. Or you can get caught up with self-image management so that people can think well of you. You hide what you're ashamed of, and you can even hide behind smiles and niceness. But when we are honest with ourselves, we know that deep down in here, we long, again, that word, we long to be more kind, more patient, more compassionate, more loving, more generous, more gracious, and more forgiving. We long to be whole. In fact, we long to be who we have created, who we've been created to be. See, when God created the world and human beings, the plan was that humans, we would represent Him and take care of the world like He would, so that the world would reflect His character and His glory. But that's clearly not the case, right? That's why we have all these longings, because the world is full of pain and strife and brokenness. How did that happen? Well, because the first humans rebelled against their maker and asserted independence from the Creator God. This means that humans could no longer take care of the world in a way that perfectly reflects God's rule. Well, they have basically usurped God's place in the world. We have usurped God's place in the world, and that's sin at its core. We have become our own God, doing things our own way. You know, it's people like you and people like me running the world. People who could be manipulative and self-serving. People who are insecure, who can get caught up with looking good on the outside. No wonder we long for good news. No wonder we long for something better. I know it sounds cliche, but I believe that we all want a better world. I'm reminded of this song by Michael Jackson. Now I'm debating if I should sing it or just read the lyrics to you. I'll try singing it, but don't laugh. Okay. So it goes something like this. Heal the world, make it a better place. For you and for me and the entire human race. Do you guys know that song? There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. You know, I can hear the longing in this song. And I love the heart behind this song. And I love how this song has helped motivate many people to do good. Many good things, good causes. But you know what? No matter how good the intention is, we cannot truly and fully heal the world. We cannot save the world. No systems can. No scientific advancement can. No social or political agenda can. And that's why, church and friends, guess the good news of Jesus Christ is so, so good. It's what we truly yearn for, although some of us might not recognize that. So what is the good news? Let's hear it from the one who has ushered in the good news and who is the good news. As Aaron reads Luke 4, verses 14 to 21 for us.
Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returns to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the surrounding countryside. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by all. Now Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Lord of the Spirit is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to tell them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled, even as you heard it being read."
Amen. Thank you, Erin. Thank you for reading. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to encounter you in a life-changing way today. Some of us know you and some of us don't. But I pray that all of us, no matter where we are on our journey, will encounter you today. May your Holy Spirit work powerfully in and amongst us, opening eyes, bringing conviction, refreshment, and encouragement. And release as you see fit. Because who else knows each of us better than you do, Jesus? So come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So our passage tells us that Jesus was reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now today, in today's term, we find the book of Isaiah in what we call the Old Testament part of the Bible, after the Song of Songs and before the book of Jeremiah. Now Isaiah is primarily God's word to Israel, but it does show us clearly the frailties of human beings, how we can continue to mess up, not just once, not just twice, but again and again and again. And it also shows us how God is holy and long-suffering, and that he has a great plan to restore his creation, to make the world a better place, if you will. And this passage that Jesus read, it's mostly from Isaiah 61 with a line from Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 61 is about a message of hope, a hope of God's deliverance to those in exile, that God will make things right again someday. And Jesus is saying, the time has come. I'm bringing in the good news. I'm making things right. You should be able to see a slide on your screen. So he has come to proclaim good news to the poor, and that's the bold and underlined bit. But he has come, which includes all the lines underneath. He has come to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind. What does that mean? Yes, it includes liberation from the exile. And yes, it includes healing from physical blindness. But there's something more, church. What led Israel into exile in the first place was idolatry. Sin, wanting their own way. And idolatry makes people blind, deaf and blind, can't see, can't hear. So Jesus is proclaiming not just a physical release and healing, but a spiritual release and healing. It's about bringing forgiveness for our rebellion and our wanting our own way. It's about setting us free from the idols that enslave us and restoring our relationship with God and healing us from our brokenness. You know the things I mentioned earlier? You know the things, if I look deep inside, I don't like these things about me? Those things, healing us of those things. And Jesus has come to set free those who are oppressed. So Israel was rebuked for the oppression and injustice in its society. And this includes oppression and injustice from being excluded or treated differently because you belong to this group and not the other group. And Jesus says he would bring about a reversal of injustice. He would care for the people who need him. And so in our case, Jesus cares about the plight of those in this city of Hong Kong who have suffered because of racism, because of mistreatment due to their status in society, because of income inequality, and because of neglect and the desire to maintain status quo by the strong and the rich. I mean, who doesn't want things to remain the same, right, if it benefits that person? And last line on the slide, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This goes back to the idea of Jubilee in the book of Leviticus, where every 50 years, Israel was supposed to proclaim freedom and liberty throughout the land, which actually also resets the economy. And this is really interesting. So debts are cancelled. And if you have lost your land, doesn't matter how you lose it, but if you lost your land, you get to have it back. And family members who were forced to be apart from one another because of the need to survive, maybe by becoming servants for other people, they are released back into their family, their land. The whole family can gather, can be together again. You know, it's Chinese New Year, and isn't that what we value on Chinese New Year? Families being together? And I'm reminded of many of our foreign workers in Hong Kong who have to live apart from their families for years, decades, just to make ends meet. The Jubilee laws were designed to keep families together and to prevent intergenerational poverty from spiraling down by instituting a complete reset of the economy every generation. Such is the heart of God for the world and for Hong Kong. As you can see, this good news of Jesus, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, good news is gospel, is all-encompassing. You know, sometimes we focus on one part of the gospel and we neglect the other parts. But the gospel is about redeeming all of creation, which includes the personal, the social, the emotional, the political, the marketplace, and all that is in the world. Remember the headlines of the good news I read to you just now? Yeah, at the beginning. So the longings that we have for a better world and a better us, remember that? The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he would go to the cross for us. He took on our iniquities, our debt. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. And he rendered powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So that the world can be reconciled to him. So that you and I might have life and life to the full. So that we can look forward to the new heavens and new earth. Which includes also new Adams and new Eve. New Brenda. And I look forward to that because when that day comes, my body will no longer be subject to decay, and I will no longer be acting out of my brokenness, and I will be able to love and treat people like how I've always wanted to, how I've longed to. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! There is great assurance and hope in him. This hope holds fast even in the face of COVID. How will you respond today? Friends, on Chinese New Year, when we seek so desperately for prosperity and abundance and success, when what we are actually longing for is Jesus, good news, because Jesus has come. And he is our good news. Today, this weekend, we can be part of receiving that good news into our lives and into the world. Many of you here have already said yes to Jesus. I mean, many of you listening to me have already said yes to Jesus. But if you haven't, You can today, and I invite you to take a step towards Jesus. It doesn't matter how big. You can take a baby step towards him. And for many of the rest of us, we have invited Jesus into our lives. We know Jesus. But sometimes we forget how good he really is and how good the good news really is. Not just to me personally, not just to you personally, but to the world. Today, I want to invite you to remember and to celebrate the good news who has come to reclaim this whole creation. And that process has already begun. And I invite you to celebrate that you don't have to carry the things that you might have been carrying, because you may have forgotten how good the good news truly is. Maybe you have been trying so hard to be good. You have been trying so hard to be a good Christian. Maybe you are carrying the guilt and the self-condemnation of thinking that you're not good enough. Today, I invite you to celebrate the goodness of the good news and the goodness of Jesus Christ, because he has made it enough. He has done it all. The word he has for you is release. Be released. Brothers and sisters and guests, will you join me in celebrating and bringing this good news into our lives and into the world today at the beginning of the Chinese New Year? Let us pray. Let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and all that you have done. We thank you that you have given us true hope, real hope, hope that's not threatened or undermined or displaced by all that is going on in the world. Hope that looks forward to a truly better world, that looks forward to the new heaven, the new earth. And Jesus, we know that sometimes we think that, we feel bad because we feel like we're not hanging on to you hard enough. But Jesus, you are the one hanging on to us. You are the one who is hanging on to us. You are the one that is pursuing those who have yet to know you. And this is great news. Great, great news. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to internalize that great news. Help us to live it out. Help us experience that forgiveness, that release that you have for us this morning. And for our friends here who have yet to know you, Lord, we lift them up into your hands, because we know that you are the one who pursued them and you are pursuing them, and they will encounter you because you love them so much. We give thanks in your precious name. Amen.